Let's have a prayer. Father, we'd like to dedicate this time to you, that your spirit will be working in our hearts, that we have open hearts and ears to listen to you, and we'll make this Master Life session fruitful. Please be with all the brothers and sisters who are involved in this discipleship process. We do understand this is a spiritual process. We need your help to go through it and go through it victoriously and reaping the benefit of this discipleship. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I'm going to do some review of the Master Life. We are in book two. It's called The Disciples' Personality. And praise God, we are already more than halfway through. Okay. So, week one, the topic is Do God's Will. Week two, the topic is Renew Your Mind. Week three, the topic is Master Your Emotions. Now, pay attention to the topics. Okay. First week, it talks about your will. Second week, your mind. And third week is your what?
Emotions.
Okay. That's the three parts of your soul. Remember the picture? Okay. That's part of your body, part of your whole person. So last week, week three, we talked about present your body, present your whole person to God, including your will, your mind, and your emotion. This coming week, we'll talk about be filled with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. It's a very, very important part of the discipleship process. We do need to understand how to be filled with the Spirit. And the Master Life is a very good instruction book. It tells you step by step how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So we'll pay attention to what we're going to learn this coming week. And the last week of book two is Live Victoriously. This is book two. It's a very, very good, very important book. I also read through book three. Book three, the name of book three is Victorious Living, the Disciples of Victory. Okay. So that's also a very, very good book. All right, so we just done week three of book two. Let's do some review. Do you still remember what you have learned last week? Okay, I'm going to do some review for you. You have 5 days of learning. Day one, surrendering yourself to God. What did you learn that day? Surrendering yourself to God. And day two, doing things your own way. We have that kind of tendency. Okay. Week three, who is the master of your body? And week four, useful to the master. Week five, a living sacrifice. I went through the material last week like two or three times. A Master Life is very well written. It's worth your time to read it more than once. I think like the second time, it will be more beneficial the second time you read through it. And last week is actually very well written. Let me do some review for you. Okay. In day one, we learn about surrendering yourself to God, and it teaches us something about your body. Okay. Three functions of your body. I give you the first function, and you can give me the second and the third function. First is your body give you an identification. It identifies you as a unique person. When people see your body, they know who you are. Yeah. You are who God made you, and you are a very unique person in this world. What's the second function of your body?
Participation.
Your body enables you to participate in God's created world. Without a body, you won't be able to participate. And especially to participate in God's work. He gives you the ability to be on mission with God in this world, so you can participate in God, what God is doing. And what's the number three?
Communication.
With our body, with the five senses God gave us, we are able to communicate with people. With your words and your body language, you are communicating with people, especially when you are spreading the gospel. You do need your body to spread the gospel. This is a very important three functions. God created your body good. God intends for you to have high regard for your body because it is the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit decided to dwell in you. God Himself live inside of you. So we have a high regard of our body. Being disciplined is not in my nature. All right. I think this sentence was repeating. Be disciplined. It's not in my nature. In my nature and in your nature, you don't want to be disciplined. You want to do things your own way. You hate someone discipline you. Spirit control, not self-control, makes the difference. How can I do things God's way? Spirit control. In time of need, you do know how to ask for Spirit's help, to ask Him, the Holy Spirit, to control you. You don't have to try very hard to control yourself on your own merit. The Holy Spirit can help change your character when you are in Christ. Be filled with the Spirit. That's what we are going to do this coming week. We learn step by step of how to be filled by the Holy Spirit. And that's the next step is the crucial one. Surrendering. Surrender your body to God, asking the Holy Spirit to change your character. Put off the old person and put on the new person. The Bible does teach you a process of changing. You have to willfully want to put off your old person and willfully make a decision to put on the new person. Am I speaking to a bunch of old persons or a bunch of new persons here? I see some new ones, see some old ones. I hope I'm speaking to new persons here. Okay? Alright. Doing things your own way. That's our tendency, okay? When people see that the body was affected, the good body God created was invaded by the sinful nature, what we call flesh. Our book teaches us two definitions of flesh. Both are used in our Bible. First, the flesh means the physical body, and then it means the sinful nature. Okay. Here in the Master Life, we mainly use it as the sinful nature. Okay. The body is weak. Okay, the body is very weak, and it's susceptible to the flesh. The sinful nature does have power on our body, weak body. God expects you to honor Him through your physical body and to decline to let flesh or the sinful nature take over. That's one thing God empowers us to do. We can, by God's help, we can do things God's way instead of our own way. The body has the capacity to do good if the flesh is not in control. So the main issue is how to take care of the flesh. Okay, the book wants us to remember three facts about the nature of your body. That applies to all of us. The first one is God created the body good. He expects me to take care of the body. In Jesus' time and in Apostles' time, there is a trend of thought that see the body as evil. Body is evil, so you don't have to be good to your body. But nowadays, in the modern age, we have the other extreme. We see the body is beautiful, body is very good. The most important thing is to take care of your body. And in that regard, by doing that, we neglect our spiritual need. All right. The second facts about the nature of your body is something happens to the body when the flesh takes over. That applies to all of us. The flesh already takes over our body. So something's wrong in our body. We do have the tendency to do to commit sins against God. So I must be on guard against the dominion of the worldly ways. As a pastor, that's my observation. You see, we learn from our master life the three kinds of presentation: the natural person, the worldly Christian, and the spiritual Christian. Actually, most of the Christians are worldly Christian. If we will be honest to ourselves, and we don't just talk about the spiritual talks, we do know most Christians are worldly Christians. The way they see things is exactly the world seeing the things. There's no difference. A worldly person and a Christian, exactly no difference. That's why we struggle as God's people. And I do hope through this discipleship process, the Holy Spirit, we will submit to the Holy Spirit, and He will help us beginning the recovering process, that we will become a spiritual Christian. We have 4 more months left to go. I hope those 4 months will be very fruitful to all of us. Okay. All right, the third fact about the body is that God created the body for His use. The reason we have a body is God wants to use it. All right. I'm doing some reviewing for you. Who is in control? 3 primary actions Christ took to free you from the bondage of the flesh. Who can tell me what 3 actions? Incarnation and crucifixion and resurrection. Okay, very good. What does Christ's incarnation do to you? Condemns
sin.
Okay, it condemns sin. What about the crucifixion? Great, yeah. Frees you from sin's bondage.
Eternal life.
Great. What resurrection? By God's power, we resurrect from the death, and His Spirit gives you life through the Spirit.
Okay. I have a question. I don't understand number one that well. How does this incarnation condemn sin?
Okay, it's like this. Why Jesus have to come to this world? The reason He incarnate, the reason He came, is because we have sinned. If we are perfect, we have no sin. God doesn't, Christ doesn't have to come to this world. So His incarnation means we are sinners and we need salvation. That's the way this book, Master Life, it condemns sin as sin. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Can I ask another question about that?
Yeah.
Is the incarnation, Him condemning sin, is it merely by Him, is it through His ministry that He condemns sin? The reason I ask is because I don't see the crucifixion as condemning the sin.
The crucifixion is one step further. Yeah, the fact that Christ coming to this world, He became flesh. That condemns sin. Yeah, if we have no sin, Christ doesn't have to come to the world. The reason He has to do this, He has to become a man. That means in God's eyes we are sinners. So just the mere fact that he He come to this world to condemn sin. But the crucifixion goes one step further. Crucifixion not only condemns sin, it frees you up from sin's bondage, because on cross, Christ paid for the price of sin. So it takes off the price part on cross. It just not say, oh, you are a sinner. No, it frees you up from sin's bondage. If you trust in Him, you are no longer a sinner. And the resurrection, that shows the power of new life. So that's the three very important steps. The fact that Christ has to come to this world means I am a sinner, so that condemns sin. And His crucifixion, that frees me up from the bondage of sin, because He paid the price on the cross. And His resurrection from death means I can do the same thing. I can have life through the Holy Spirit. So, if you have that knowledge, spiritual knowledge, understanding, and commit yourself to Christ by the Holy Spirit's help, we all can live a victorious living. Useful to the Master, that day, that material talks about our mission on this world. Make ourselves be useful to the Master. There's some basic knowledge there. I hope you will learn well. Your body will not be perfect until it is completed, redeemed at Christ's return. So there's no perfection as long as we live on this world. Okay? Until He comes, we're all living an imperfect body. In the meantime, your identification with Christ's incarnation, crucifixion, and the resurrection gives you potential for righteous living. We have actually two kinds of potentials. One is for righteous living, and you still have the potential for unrighteous living. It's your choice. It's my choice. Okay. And the choice is to let God to reign in your body by yielding members of my body to Him as an instrument of righteousness, instead of letting them be instruments of wrong living. Master Life teach you how to do it step by step, how to offer your members one at a time. So day five, how to commit yourself to Christ. Like your hand, you make your prayer to God about your hand. You just offer yourself one by one to God. So, Lord, I offer my hands to You to do Your work, to use my hands to praise You, to do my job well. And you think of something, how you want to offer your hand to God. And then you can offer your eyes to God. You say to God, Lord, I offer my eyes to You to read the Bible, to see things You want me to see. Or you think of something, how you want to offer your eyes to God. And your feet. We just have some missionaries coming back from YSMP. Lord, I offer my feet to You to bring good news to people, to go where You want me to go. You can also offer your ears to God. Lord, I offer my ears to You to listen to Your word. Okay? To listen like one being instructed. There's a passage in the book of Isaiah talking about one being instructed, 受教者. 受教者的耳朵, 受教者的舌头. To listen to Your word, to listen like one being instructed. And my tongue, Lord, I offer my tongue to You to praise You, to be well instructed, so I know the word that sustains the weary, 使我能够扶助疲乏的人. You need to be instructed, well instructed at first place, so you can help other people and to say the words God wants to you, to you to say. All right. Now let's go through the basics. You do need to memorize all the details of this personality presentation. And last time, not all of you can remember how to present the disciples' cross. And that's the simple one. This is a more difficult one. And based on what I know you, all of you are very smart people. And if you put your heart to it, you can remember all the details easily. The fact that you are not doing well on the presentation, there's only one simple reason. You didn't put your heart to it. You don't see it as important. So you just let it go by. I do require you to memorize all the details, and each one of you need to do 100 in the presentation of the personality. And like Ge Peng, you will do well next time. 你也得考一百分。So, remember all the details, all the Bible verses on this personality presentation. Okay, it starts with a circle with two openings. That means God created you. God created you, and He gives you a body, and your body has five senses that enables you to communicate with the created world. And not only you have a body, God also gives you soul, the hun. And there are three parts of your soul. That's your mind, and your will take the central position, and your emotions. And there is a Satan working in this world through your body. He want to tempt you. And there's God built inside of you the spirit, your spirit, which enables you to communicate with God. But when the also there's a flesh, sinful nature, that enables you to communicate with Satan. When the spirit is dead, when you sin, I sin, our spirit is dead, and the opening to God is closed. And this is what the Bible calls a natural person, 自然人. A natural person, unregenerated person, is like this. They don't have communication with God. But if a person opens his heart to the Holy Spirit, and his spirit is no longer dead, and he has opening to God, he can communicate with God, then he is no longer a natural person. Is what? He's a worldly Christian, because he opens to God and he opens to Satan too. He opens both ways. Okay. If he in faith crucify himself with Christ, the flesh is crucified, the door to Satan is closed, then he no longer is a worldly Christian, and he is what the Bible says, a spiritual Christian. And inside him is no longer I, so the big I is gone, and it's Christ inside of me. Okay, this is the presentation. But the last week, you do one step further. You have the basic presentation, and you do one action. That's you draw near to God, and as God promised to you, if you do this, you draw near to God, God will what? God will draw near to you. Okay? And the body and the flesh, if you resist Satan will what? Okay, this is all at the bottom of your book. Okay, so just turn to your book, and you can see all the diagram. You have to remember all the details. All right. Conversational prayers. How many groups are doing conversational group prayers? Okay, Diana's. Thank you. That's very nice. Yeah. We all need to learn how to do a conversational prayer. Okay. It's a way to unite the whole group. The whole group act as one person to communicate with him. So there are some simple principles of a conversational prayer. First, the whole group act one as one person, engaging God in a conversation. That's why we call it a conversational prayer. Pray about one subject at a time, okay? And pray brief prayers, make it short. You don't have to say a lot, okay? Few sentences will do, okay? Speak normally, okay? Okay, this is an important thing. You only use first person singular pronoun, I, me, God forgive me. You don't say God forgive us. So, God, I want to praise you. You don't say God, we want to praise you. It's very personal.
I have a question. So when we pray, so there's no praying for someone else in the group? Or is it I pray for, that's the one part where I was a little confused.
You say pray for other people?
So like if you're in the group and you feel led to pray for someone else,
yeah.
How do I keep it personal?
Yeah, you say, I want to pray for this
pray. Okay.
Sister so and so, brother so and
so. So it's not just praying for someone.
Yeah. Okay. But it's from you. Yeah. Okay. So you say, I like to pray for somebody. Okay. Be specific in requests and the confessions of sin. Yes, Paul.
Is there a time when you should say we or should say us?
Yeah. Of course. Yeah. We do this a lot. Usually when we pray, if it's not a conversational prayer, we say a lot of we say a lot of us, yeah. But this is a kind of a different prayer. It's a conversational prayer. And Master Life like you as a group to practice this kind of prayer. You don't have to do it every time you do prayer. You might want to use your ways to do it. But you should at least practice several times a conversational prayer. We do have the tendency to generalize things. It's, God forgive us, but I don't want to mention forgive what. God forgive me, I haven't listened to you, I did this and that, and that's personal. So conversational is more personal way of doing prayer, yeah. Okay, yes. Continue the conversation as long as the group desires. And in the end, if it's time to close, somebody say a prayer and they say, in Jesus' name, amen.
I have a question.
Yes, Jyoti.
I find it, I don't know how others feel, I find it difficult to pray one sentence or two sentences.
Thank you, Jyoti. I think many people are in the same boat as you are. Yeah, about 1 minute. Okay, I think in 1 minute we can say more than one sentence.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah, we all have a difficulty to express ourselves in just one or two sentences. Yeah.
That's
so
very reasonable.
Maybe a person say 1 or 2 minutes. That should be suffice. Yeah. All right. Salvation testimony. You should have made a progress on your salvation testimony. You should already have an outline and have some details, and you need to do it in 3 minutes, very effectively, in 3 minutes. In the end of book two, we will have a salvation workshop. In that time, each one of us will perfect our salvation testimony. But right now, we are making progress. Today, you're going to share your salvation testimony with your group members. Okay? Four important outlines, four important things about your salvation testimony. Number one, your life and attitudes before you know Christ before you follow Christ. Number two, how you realize God was speaking to me. And number three, last week, Master Life especially emphasized on number three, how I became a Christian. And the book asks you to make sure you mention four facts of the conversion process. First, you have to mention the sin is an eye-controlled life. Number two, sin's penalty is a separation from God, both this life and eternally. Number three, Christ paid the penalty of sin for me on the cross. And number four, receiving Christ as your Lord and Savior. So in your testimony, you briefly present the basic points of the gospel. You're talking about your sin and your conversion. Okay. So you need to include all of this 1, 2, 3, 4 points in the how you became a Christian, that part. Okay. Okay, last part is what being a Christian means to me. Simply put it, is after you became a Christian, how do you do? Okay. Next week's assignment. So it's on your books, page 92. My Walk with the Master. This week you have to do it, each item faithfully, complete all of them. And we'll start to know the circle of influence. Okay. Pray for the persons in your circle of influence. You will learn this in the following week. Write your testimony. Be ready to share it next time. Okay? Finish writing your testimony. And remember, the testimony workshop is on August 14th. All right. Now it's the small group time. As usual, check each other's My Walk with the Master this week and quote memory verses. Last week we memorized 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 through 20, and reviewed the previous memory verses. Number three, practice explaining the disciples' personality to each other. Okay. Number four, evaluation. You need to share your salvation testimony in your group, and other people will help you to evaluate how you are doing on your testimony, salvation testimony. Okay. And sharing the commitments you made on page 87 and 88 to honor God with your physical body. And then you end it with a prayer. Okay, let's break into groups.